TCK, we are about the Great Commission.
What do we do?
We manifest Christ in our everyday lives.
And how is that?
We preach and teach the unconditional love and grace of God.
Oh.
To the nations of the world.
And therefore?
Leading people into an intimate relationship with God.
That's purpose.
It was a beautiful session. Now I'm gonna shift. Say I'm gonna shift now. There is something I'm gonna show you here. And in the next few minutes, I want you to catch it and run with it. All right? Yes. Again, we believe in prayer. Never do anything without prayer. But there are so many other things you need to do after prayer. All right? There are so many other things. What is prayer? Prayer is walking with God, interacting with the finished invisible realities until they become a physical manifestation. That is prayer. That's the definition of prayer. Walking with God, all right? Interacting with finished invisible realities until they become a physical manifestation. There's nothing you're praying for that God has not given you. But prayer helps you to walk with God and to connect with the things He has given you. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven places in Christ Jesus. You already have everything that you need and everything you will ever need. Remember the difference between needs and wants? Now we want, but we don't need. All our needs are met, but we want Butabika. We want Kampala. We want Uganda. So needs and wants, okay? So the needs are met. We have to access them, interact with them, and manifest them in physical manifestation, okay? After interacting with them. But their wants. Father, we want Uganda. We want Africa. Those are wants. Right? Yes. So now, this next session, what are we looking at? We are looking at the wisdom to discern and to walk and work with destiny helpers in the marketplace, in our lives. This is something that so many people have failed to master. And because they have failed to master how to find, how to identify, how to discern when a destiny helper shows up, they miss a lot. God will never come from heaven and find you land to buy, but He will help you find it through a person. So my point is this: you can ask God to do things, but God does not run a business, but He owns business owners. Does it make sense? So if you are believing God for a position in a company, you must pray, but God has to connect you to the person who knows the owner of the company for you to get a job. Because God doesn't run a company. God doesn't run Coca-Cola. So if you want a job in Coca-Cola, God has to connect you to the people He owns that own Coca-Cola. So how do you find the owner of that company or the manager of Coca-Cola? So we call those destiny helpers, and God positions them. So now we want to be coached. How do we develop the wisdom, acquire the wisdom to identify them when they come? How do we work with them? How do we live with them? What do we do when they show up? How do we discern? Because some of them don't look like destiny helpers. Most of them don't look like. Most of the people that have taken me to places where I am, they don't look like those places. But we carry the wisdom to understand that every person you meet has five people behind them that you need. One of the men that have helped me, in fact, they helped us a lot in Sudan, was introduced to me by a homeless person. So I'm in Texas. I was leading the Africa School of Ministries here in Uganda. So I was, and they have a college they worked with in the US. So I was teaching 5 courses here and 5 courses in Texas. So where I used to live was, you know, close to the school. And I love coffee, as you know, because we're going to take coffee in heaven. There is coffee, honey, and milk in heaven. So if you're going to enjoy heaven, you must love milk, love honey, and coffee. Seriously. And coffee is more than honey. Coffee is more than milk in heaven, because there is a whole book in the Bible talking about coffee. The whole book dedicated to coffee. Not honey, not milk, but coffee. So you must love coffee. If you have read your Bible, you must know that. Have you seen it in your Bible? You don't read your Bible then, because you've seen the Bible. The whole book in the Bible. Have you come across a book called Hebrews? So I go every day to practice how I'm going to live in heaven. I go every day to practice. Twice a day, I go to buy coffee. And every time I came, I found this man there, homeless, at that place. He loved being there. I remember it was a Wednesday. I was tired. I went in to buy coffee in Starbucks. As I'm entering Starbucks, this man is coming out of Starbucks. Huge guy. I looked at him and said, "I'm so sorry, sir." And he said, "What did you do?" I said, "I'm sorry for knocking you. Where are you from?" "From Uganda." "Oh, Uganda. Idi Amin." I said, "Yes, the land of Idi Amin. What are you doing here?" "I am a missionary." "Say, oh, I'm so sorry. You're a missionary. Oh, I'm very, very sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive my sins. I'm very sorry. You're a missionary. You're a man of God." I said, "Yes, I am a missionary. What do you do?" So I told him what to do. And he gave me $1. A homeless man gave me $1 and says, "Go help the poor." And I told him, "My God, thank you so much. Thank you. You are my partner. This dollar is going to help people. You are my partner." He says, "I can't be your partner. I have no address. I have no bank account. I can't be a partner." And I said, "You are." He says, "But I can find you a partner." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. That guy is rich. He'll give you money." I said, "Really?" "Yes." "Okay, so he said, follow me." So for me, I just wanted to give him time. I didn't expect him to take me to a rich man. So I gave him time. So I walked with him as I took my coffee. He was eating a sandwich, walking on the streets with a homeless guy. So I honored him. I walked with him. That's why you need to honor people. So I walked with him. I didn't expect him to take me to a rich man. I was just giving him time, talking to him. All I wanted was to minister to him. I didn't know I was walking with a destiny helper. So he walks and walks and walks. And very close, not far away, he leads me to a church. And he used to go there. They had a food bank. So he used to go there for food. They helped homeless people. They gave them food. So he reaches there. We were, we went through the back door where he used to pick food. And he begins to, he didn't knock. He banged the door. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, "Oh my God." I was scared. I thought police was going to come. And then the secretary walks to the door. She opens the door, and they knew the man. I said, "What are you doing? We have no food today. You know, come back Tuesday. Tuesday, you come for food. Not today. We are preparing for service." He says, "No, I don't want food. I have a missionary here, a poor missionary. You help poor people here, right? This is a poor missionary. He's here looking for help." So I'm standing there. I'm scared to death, scared. Because I didn't know what they're going to do. So now, as we talk, the main pastor had this guy bang the door. He showed up. And he knows the guy. He calls him by name. He was a trouble causer. Everyone knew him. Say, what are you doing here? So the secretary backs off because the big man has come. Now the pastor takes over. He interviews him. What are you doing here? Today is not Tuesday. Da, 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 da. I told you, don't do such things. Da, be a good boy. Don't be a bad boy. And I'm hiding. And he says, no, no, no. I don't want food today. I have a poor missionary from Africa. He wants your help. Where is he? I show up. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. So I began to explain. I said, don't explain. He needs to see you. He needs to see you. He needs help. He's poor. He's hungry. And he's taking care of hungry people in Africa. And pastor said, okay. Where are you from? So I told him, from Uganda. He says, okay, come next week and see me. He walks away. So the secretary takes my number, my information. I left. And I said, thank you, Lord. It wasn't police. So I go home. I did not expect them to call me. I thought they wanted to get rid of the problem, you know. So I walk away. I left the man. I left him. I didn't walk with him back. I left him, went back to where I lived. Now, after a few days, I received a phone call. And this lady says, you know, my name is so-and-so. You were a missionary from Africa. You came here last week and pastor wants to see you. I said, really? Yes. So we met for lunch and gave us so much money. He sent a lot of money to Southern Sudan. So much money to Southern Sudan and Northern Uganda through that contact. And up to today, we are close friends. I've slept in his house, close to his family. Who did God use to take me to him? A homeless man. So when did you even think about a homeless to be your destiny helper? So how do we carry the wisdom and the humility to identify them? Because most of them don't look like destiny helpers, but we have to find them. Amen? And identify them. Now, I want to give you two examples quickly. Did you understand my testimony? Yeah. So now I have a good friend who was connected. In fact, texts me to Porter's house. You talk about connections. Yeah. So let's look at Esther. Esther. Esther is an orphan girl. Okay? You remember the story. So we're going to go through this story very quickly. And Dev will help us to pick some of those verses that we need to see. Okay. So Esther is an orphan girl living with Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai. Esther is helped. Now, in this case, Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai takes on Esther as a destiny helper. You understand that? So he lives with Esther. And then time comes. The queen misbehaves. And the kingdom needs a new queen. Who would ever think about this orphan as a woman that could serve a kingdom as queen? So anyway, the Bible says in Esther 2 verse 7,
Esther 2 verse 7, and Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther.
So Mordecai brings up Esther, destiny helper, okay?
His uncle's daughter, mm-hmm. For she had neither father nor mother. Mm-hmm. The young woman, mm-hmm, was lovely and beautiful. Mm-hmm. When her father and mother died,
yeah,
Mordecai took her as his own daughter.
Took her as his own daughter. So Mordecai becomes a destiny
helper.
Helper. Right? So Mordecai becomes a destiny helper. Verse 8.
Verse 8, so it was when the king's command and decree were heard, mm-hmm. and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, mm-hmm. under the custody of Haggai, mm-hmm. that Esther also was taken to the king's palace, mm-hmm. into the care of Haggai, mm-hmm. the custodian of the women.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who had the decree? Was it Esther? Who had the decree? Sorry? Uncle. So a destiny helper hears for this orphan girl because this orphan girl needs a destiny helper. Now in the marketplace, you can never succeed without destiny helpers. They must be there. You can never succeed without them. So as you work out there as kings, you must be humble enough and you must discern who they are. Right? So Mordecai hears the decree and then Mordecai takes her. He registers her. Alright? Verse 9.
Now the young woman pleased him, mm-hmm. and she obtained his favor.
Who? The custodian. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, mm-hmm. besides her allowance.
Besides her allowance. Mm-hmm.
Then 7 choice maid servants were provided for her, mm-hmm. from the king's palace, mm-hmm. and he moved her and her maid servants to the best place in the house of the women.
Yes. Now you see, she goes into the hands of another destiny helper. You see how God connects. Now Mordecai hands her over to another destiny helper, the custodian. And the Bible says, and when you read through all the verses, you're going to realize that Esther had favor, like every one of us have favor. And the Bible says that he took her to the best apartment. In fact, the Amplified Bible says to the best apartment. So which means this custodian was used by God to take this girl. It wasn't only the favor of God, but it was also the work that this custodian did in her life. You see what I'm talking about? So you're going to realize that he began working on her and took her to the best place, and she received something extra. She received something extra from the rest of the girls. And it wasn't like the Bible says she goes and she finds the king, and when she goes to the king, and of course, as we say, one night with a king, only one night with a king, Esther becomes queen. There is so much that took place for her to achieve this in one night. One, it was the favor of God upon her life. Number two was the preparation that the destiny helper took her through. Some of us, we have favor, yes, but we don't have the people to coach us. We don't have the people to open doors for us. We don't have the people to tell us what the king wants. Because you can have favor, but you don't walk properly. You need someone to tell you, don't walk like that. He won't like it. That's a destiny helper. You can have favor, but you don't smell good. You need some extra perfumes and oils on your skin. You can have favor, but you don't know the colors the king wants. So you must have the custodian. So when do you realize that this is my destiny helper, I need to listen? So he begins to work on her, and after working on her, her time comes to go to meet the king.
Verse 15. Mm-hmm. Now when the turn came for Esther,
yeah.
the daughter of Abihail, mm-hmm. the uncle of Mordecai,
yeah.
who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, mm-hmm. she requested nothing
yeah.
but what Haggai, the king's eunuch,
yeah.
the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her.
Now, all these other girls, okay, that were in the boot camp, yeah, when their time came, They made their choices. Because they also know what they want. I also know what I want. You don't tell me what to do. I'm mature. So they made their choices. But Hadassah, Esther, Hadassah came to the destiny helper and said, you know what? Yes, I have a will. I know what I want. But because you know the king, whatever you tell me is what I will wear. You see, this is a girl, an orphan, very smart, very alert in the spirit. She knew that this is my destiny helper, and whatever she tells me will work. You understand what I'm talking about? So she comes to the destiny helper and says, whatever you tell me is what I'm gonna wear. I don't know what to do. You know the king. I don't know the king. So help me. Now that's a person that carries wisdom, that works with destiny helpers. Many of us, we have missed windows of opportunities because we never discerned who a destiny helper is in our lives at that moment. Or we found them but never observed enough. We never listened enough, and we never allowed them to serve us. And so we miss. So she goes to the destiny helper, and of course, he made the choice. And the Bible says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Now, let me say something that I hope you understand this. It is not only the favor that God has given us, because all of us, we have it. It is also the things that other people add to us. I hope I said it well, not to confuse people. It is not only the favor that God gives you. Everyone has favor, but not everyone is making it. So it is not enough. You also need people to add things to you. That's what the Bible says. A man who sees a wife sees a good thing and obtains favor. There is a favor you obtain through a woman. And there's a favor you will never have if you don't have a woman with you. Yes. Now, this is how I operate. There are places I don't go alone. And I choose people intentionally. There are places I can't go with a lady because I know that I won't get what I want. I go with a man. And there are places I must have a lady with me. Whether my daughter, my wife, my sister, my friend, because I know if I go there with a woman, a door will open up. You must carry the wisdom. So you must know where you're going and understand what you carry with you. Okay? So destiny help us. Yes, sir.
Verse 16. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace.
Yeah.
In the 10th month.
Yeah.
Which is the month of Tebeth.
Yeah.
In the 7th year of his reign.
Yes.
Verse 17 says, the king loved Esther.
The king loved Esther.
More than all the other women.
Why? There's something special that was on her. They were all beautiful, by the way. Okay.
And she obtained grace and favor in his sight.
Yeah.
More than all the virgins.
Yes.
So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
Yes. So do we understand the dynamics here? They were all virgins. They were all beautiful. They were all favored. Because they were chosen among many. But there was something special about this humble, simple girl. She fell in the hands of a destiny helper that said she must make it. What do I do for this girl to make it? I must put her in a place that is special. That apartment made Esther a different woman. Why did this person choose this apartment for this girl? The Bible says she was taken to a special apartment. There are things that were done for to her and for her There are some special oils that others didn't get. Her star was shining brighter than them. But also she carried the wisdom to connect in a special way with her destiny helper. Whatever you tell me, I'll do it. We must carry the wisdom to know when we be quiet and let them talk for us. Like this homeless person talked for me. Amen. Another example I want to show you is Ruth chapter 2. Now, again, I want to emphasize this, that as a king in the marketplace, you must be sensitive and find destiny helpers. You can't make it without people. You can't make it. So now we are looking at a girl, Ruth. Now, in fact, when you look at chapter 1, let's go to chapter 1 first. Dev, and read chapter 1 verse 6.
Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Mm-hmm. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread.
So now this is Naomi. Naomi was a widow. Her husband died and left two sons. And then the two sons married and the sons died. And now she's a widow. Husband dead. Son's dead. She has two daughters-in-law. Okay, she's walking with them. That's what we are reading now in verse 6.
Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her.
Yeah.
And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Mm. Verse 8 says, and Naomi said to her, to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house.
Yeah. So she sends them away because she's returning to her country. Now she wants to go back to her country, and she says to them, you see, now I'm going back home. Your husbands died, my kids died. Please go back to your mothers, go back to your families. I'm also going back to my home country. Yes.
The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.
Yeah.
Verse 9, the Lord grant that that you may find rest each in the house of her husband.
And she meant well for them. Mm-hmm.
So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept.
Yes.
And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people.
Yeah.
Verse 11, but Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Mm-hmm. Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Mm-hmm. Verse 12, turn back, my daughters. Mm-hmm. Go, for I am too old to have a husband.
Yeah.
If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Mm-hmm. Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? Mm-hmm. No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.
Now, in those days, if your husband died, your brother-in-law could marry you. But in this case, both of them had died. And then the woman says, Naomi says, you know, now you can't stay with me because now my womb is old. I can't give you husbands. And even if I were to give you husbands, would you stay here and wait for these babies to grow up and marry you? So please go. In other words, she says, with me around me, there's no hope. Leave me and go. I'm a hopeless woman. I am taking you nowhere. Leave me. Go find your future. Leave me alone. I can't help you. Like I said, most of them don't look like. But there are some that look like destiny helpers. We've seen a lot of them. Okay? So she says, you leave and go. Amen? So she's asking them to go because she's no, you know, she has no hope. And it was true that now she's a widow, she's old. They have to go back to their homes and find something to do because now there's no hope. And verse 14,
then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And
it was terrible. It was terrible. It was a terrible situation. Yeah.
And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her.
So now there are two. One is called Orpah, another one is Ruth. Oprah, when Oprah heard that there is no hope, my mother-in-law won't give birth again to give me a husband, she left. She said, okay, let me go. She left. All right? But this one, Ruth, is like Esther, stayed. The Bible says she stayed. All right? Let's go ahead.
Verse 15. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you.
Yeah.
For wherever you go, I will go.
Yeah.
And wherever you lodge, I will lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Your people shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And your God, my God.
Now,
where you die,
yeah.
I will die.
Yeah.
And there will I be buried.
Yeah.
The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.
Yeah. Now, this is a woman that has found a destiny helper, and she's so serious about it. Now, one of the things you must master is to see through the realm of the spirit and never consider destiny by the things you see in the natural. That has to be a wisdom you get. So this woman, Ruth, was able to see through the realm of the spirit, because in the natural, this woman was taking her nowhere. But she says, she vows and she says, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. She was so committed and so determined to stick with the destiny helper. She had discernment. All right? Yes. Let's continue.
Verse 18. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Verse 19. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them.
Yeah.
And the women said, is this Naomi?
Mm-hmm.
But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Mm.
I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again, again empty.
Mm.
Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?
Mm-hmm.
So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest.
Yes. So they come together to this new country. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1.
Chapter 2, verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech.
Mm.
His name was Boaz.
Yeah.
So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter.
Where is she going? To the marketplace. She's going to where? Marketplace. To work in the fields. This is a hardworking girl, but she knows the principle. She has the discernment to discern, the ability to discern a destiny helper. And she has a vision. So she goes. Instead of sitting in the house, she's out to work. All right? Verse 3.
Verse 3. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech.
Mm-hmm.
Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you.
Yeah.
Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this?
Yes.
So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.
So now, just like Esther moves from the hands of Mordecai, she's now moving from Naomi to the manager, the supervisor. When she came to the supervisor, she got a job, a place to work, and she did well, excellently well. And then the boss, the owner, comes and finds her there working. Now she falls into the third hand. Naomi, the manager, now the owner. All right? Let's go ahead. We're about to finish it.
Verse 7. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and her... So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house.
Oh, you see, hard work. Hard work. Some destiny helpers will leave you if you're lazy. Yes. Okay, so she was hard working, all right?
Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.
Yeah, continue.
Verse 10, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.
Now, you see, testimony, all right? She has a testimony. Yes, let's go.
Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.
Yeah.
Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her.
Yeah.
So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley.
Yeah.
Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned.
Yeah,
so she brought out.
She goes back to the mother-in-law. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, okay. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking.
Now, stay there. Now, you see, you remember Esther? Okay? Now, we are seeing another woman. She didn't know what her mother-in-law knew. She wasn't aware that I've met my husband to be. But when she came back and the mother-in-law had a story, she went like, wait a minute. That man is going to be your husband. So this is what you have to do. She carries the wisdom. Go back to the widow. No, I have a job here. She will begin to tell them how bad that woman is and how, you know, often she didn't eat food and you understand. But she goes back to the widow because the widow carries the wisdom. This is your destiny helper, carries the wisdom. And your destiny helper knows the people well and knows, you know, he knows or she knows what you don't know. And so she begins to prepare her. You need someone to help you, to coach you, to open doors for you. So you must identify them. You must identify them. Who's your destiny helper? Where is your destiny helper? You must find them. And so she begins to coach her what to do. You must now dress well. You must now walk properly. Totambula mama yanzali da chitambula properly. Smell good. There's some, you know, some extra oils you need to put on your body because you met a man that is going to be your husband. You may not know, but I know. Yeah? Okay?
Verse 4. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies.
She even knows this man after eating lies down. You don't know. Yeah?
And you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down.
Yes.
And he will tell you what you should do.
She's been there before. This is what they do. When they eat, they lie down. And they expect you to come. And when you come, you must do something. This is what you have to do. And this is what he's going to say after you do what you have done. So your destiny helper knows. The challenge is now, how do you find them? And when you find them, how do you work with them? Yes, sir.
Verse 5. And she said to her, this is Ruth saying to Naomi, all that you say to me, I will do.
All that you say to me, I will do. Same thing with Esther. Same thing with Esther. By the way, you remember, Esther had to realize that now it is not Mordecai. Before it was Mordecai, he had the decree. But it is now the time of this custodian to tell me what to do. She never went back to Mordecai. And she didn't disconnect with Mordecai, by the way, because Mordecai had to come around and pray for her. But she never asked Mordecai what to wear. She knew who should know what to wear. So Ruth says to her destiny helper, whatever you tell me, I'll do. So it takes humility. Yes? It takes humility. Yes?
Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor.
Yeah.
And did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her.
Yes. Instructions. Do you follow instructions? So I'm telling you what's going to make you successful in the marketplace. There are principles after prayer, after fasting. There are principles. I'm sorry to say, but most people that spend so much time in prayer are poor. Because they know we've taught you to pray, but we didn't tell you how to dress, how you carry yourself. Uyambalenga tenchiafu, teleja kuwa mulimu. So you know, you can't sit at the table with a CEO with dirty nails. You won't get that job. You won't sign that contract. If you can't clean your nails, will you sign the right check? Will you sign the right check? You need a destiny helper. And you must do what they tell you. Yes.
Verse 7, and after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down.
Yeah. But
verse 8, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? She answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Verse 10, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman.
Righteous woman. Yes, testimony. Righteous woman. Yeah.
Verse 12, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning.
So Boaz now is set in as another destiny helper. So you're going to see now the wisdom Ruth has to carry to still walk with Naomi. All right? By the way, I believe the manager is still in the picture. The supervisor is still in the picture. So she has three people now to deal with. All these are destiny helpers. She knows when not to disconnect, and she knows when to continue with the other. So she's between Naomi and Boaz. Everyone needs a Naomi, and everyone needs a Boaz. She's a foreigner, by the way. So now Boaz sets in, and Boaz begins to tell her what to do. There is a man that is closer, that he is supposed to marry her. But Boaz knows what to do, because Boaz is rich. Naomi needs Boaz. He's the right man. And so he knows what to do. So he says, don't worry, I'm going to lead you to your destiny. I know the other man, by law, is supposed to be your husband. But I'm going to do something to change the tables for you to marry me. You get it? I'm going to do something to change the tables for you to marry me, because it's me you need. It is this you need. You're going to own all this. Okay? So let's go there. Let's see how he walks with her, how he leads her, because she needed Boaz, not anyone else but Boaz. All right?
So, verse 16, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her.
Yeah.
And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Verse 18, then she said, sit still, my daughter, mm-hmm. until you know how the matter will turn out.
For still, sit still until you know how the matter will turn out.
Uh-huh. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day.
The man won't rest. So you see, she's between now Boaz and Naomi. That widow knows. So you better go back to her, because she will help you understand him. We are speaking mysteries here, wisdom. Okay?
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
Let's begin from verse 1. Mm. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by.
That's the man that was supposed to marry by law. Okay?
So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit mm-hmm. down here.
Now listen to a destiny helper. These things Ruth couldn't do by herself. It needed Boaz, like you need a Boaz in the marketplace. Yeah?
So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. Mm-hmm. So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here.
Yeah.
So they sat down. Mm-hmm. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech.
Wisdom. Let's read that again. Then
he said to the close relative, mm-hmm. Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab,
yeah.
sold the piece of land
yeah.
which belonged to our brother Elimelech.
Elimelech was the husband who died. Now the destiny helper turning tables by wisdom that only him carries. He speaks at a time where him alone can speak, where Ruth cannot speak, and where Naomi cannot speak. But he's the man who carries that wisdom to speak. That's a destiny helper. There is a place you reach and you remove your face for people to see the face of your destiny helper. It's wisdom. You are not losing. Don't put your face everywhere. Even in business, there are places you go and you have to remove your face, because the people in that area don't deal with people that look like you. And there are places, this is how the world is designed, we must believe. This is how it is. So there are places I go to and they must not see my face. Carry the wisdom to constantly walk with your destiny helper. I have a man that opened the door for me and I'm still with him. And I find difficulties with people of narrow thinking. And when I realize, I don't put my head there, because they will kill me. Because I am a man of wisdom. I know when to run back to Naomi I know when Boaz should speak, and I be quiet. So out there in the marketplace as a king, you must understand these dynamics. You will prosper. Jesus says the children of the world are wiser than my children. The sons of the world are wiser than my sons. We must carry the wisdom to understand how to walk with destiny helpers. We pray for them. When they come, we become proud. All right? Let's finish this.
Verse 4. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it.
That's how I know Boaz was rich. And Ruth survived a poor man. Yeah, let's go ahead.
If you will redeem it, redeem it.
Yeah.
But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why is Boaz going through all this? Was Ruth the most beautiful woman in that country? Why is he going through all this? Sitting in the meeting of elders and finding the wisdom to talk to the rightful husband for them to have an exchange. Why is he going through all this? Tell me. Why? Sorry? Good character. Okay, thank you. Another one. Why? Yeah? Sorry? Preparation. Okay, thank you. Yeah, another one. Why is he going through all this? Because this is trouble. Sorry? Now, all this you're saying is right. But listen to this. This is his place and calling in the life of Ruth. God has called and placed destiny helpers before you. It is God. And some of them are not Christians. They are Muslims. So you must carry the wisdom not to point fingers, because they don't pray like you. They don't sing like you. They don't talk like you. It doesn't mean God has not called them as your destiny helpers. There are believers today that say, I can't do business with Muslims. Don't be equally yoked. Let's talk about marriage, not business. You're going to do business with those that aren't from your family. Yeah? Okay.
Let's skip to verse 6.
6.
Mm-hmm. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself,
mm-hmm.
lest I ruin my own inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
You redeem my right of redemption for yourself,
mm-hmm.
for I cannot redeem it. Verse 7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging.
Yeah.
To confirm anything.
Yeah.
One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other.
Yeah.
And this was a confirmation in Israel.
Mm.
Then the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal.
Mm-hmm.
And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malon's from the hand of Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Malon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance,
yeah.
that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day.
Mm.
And all the people who were at the gate and elders said, we are witnesses.
Mm.
The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman.
And verse 13.
Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Mm-hmm. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, mm-hmm. and she bore a son.
And the woman said unto?
To Naomi, uh-huh. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and mm-hmm. a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.
By the way, do you realize that this has a connection with Jesus? Yeah? You read the story, you're going to find Jesus. How did this story start? By this girl identifying Naomi. So now I'm concluding. You must carry the wisdom to discern when they show up. You carry the wisdom to know how to walk and operate with destiny helpers. And look at Esther. There was an exchange from Mordecai to the custodian, and she did not mix them. She knew how to operate, how to work. She knew who should tell me what to do now. And yet I am not disconnected, because Mordecai still passes around to check on me and pray for me, but he does not tell me what to put on. I receive the blessing and the prayer and the covering because he is my destiny helper. I will never disconnect with those and my history, because if I lose my history, I lose my future. So how do I keep my history but then maintain the present and understand how to work with them? And how do I work between the exchange of destiny helpers, between Naomi and Boaz? When do I listen here and when do I listen there? It is not only speaking in tongues. It is also wisdom that we carry. And that is why we worship together, we pray together, we read the same verses, same pastor, same school, same city, same economy. One goes up, another goes down. It's not the will of God for you to go down. There's something wrong you're doing. There's something you are not doing. There's something you are not doing. So sometimes we need to pause, to sit down, like Naomi told Ruth, sit down until you know. Sit down until this man finishes the matter. There is something that has to be finished. It can't be finished when you're loud, running around, trying to fix things by yourself. You need to allow God position you and position destiny helpers and know how to walk with them. And sometimes you look at your destiny helper and you're so narrow-minded, you see short term, and all you need is them to give you a check, and yet God has not brought them in your life to give you a check, but to connect you to the well. So are you looking for a check, or you're willing to be patient and wise until they connect you to where they fetch? Some of us are taking peanuts, and the will of God is for you to sit at the well. But you need to carry the wisdom and be patient until they teach you and connect you to where they fetch. Don't go for the fish, go for the net. When you find a prosperous man, don't be amazed and go at what they have. Let them teach you and tell you their story. It is their story that will help you to be like them. Don't be a slave, be a master like them. Be a master like them. Every year, I fly in one person to come and see where I live. One person. I save that money every year. So when they come, I eat with them. I live with them. You came to visit me. I'm going to show you my city. But I'm wise. As I show you my city, the opportunities you show me. Because you have the eyes I don't have. And I listen. Yes. This is how we have to think. We must come from where we are to another place. Some of this you have to invest. Like Ruth invested. Boaz said it. Boaz said, "You have been so good to Naomi." She invested. Some of us, when we meet our destiny helpers, all we do is ask them to give us. But you must be willing to give to them. So there are times when you must do things differently. So when do you know that it's time to pray? It is time to listen to my destiny helper. It's time to feed and support and serve my destiny helper. It is time to wash my destiny helper's feet. When do I know that it's time? And so someone walks to you and say, "Why does he do things for you that he doesn't do for others?" What do you expect? I knew my season and I walked in my season. I did what I had to do. So the wisdom, knowing your destiny helper. Amen. Wow. Pastor Carol, come and close. I don't know how you close this. By the way, let me ask you a question. How do you pray after this? After all this, how do you pray? Oh, we are talking. I'm also asking, how should we pray? Yes? How do you pray? Yes. Asking God. Show us now. Give us this wisdom. Not going like, "Bring them, Lord, bring this and help us." No. Because they've been there. And probably the one sitting close to you is your destiny helper. But you've lacked the wisdom.
Amen.